1 Peter 3, verses 15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Have you ever felt out of place? Yeah. Have you? I have. I was once in France, and there was Jan and the children in the car, and we had a trailer, and we were going through Marseille, and there were four lanes of traffic. Me being me knew exactly where I was going, so I drove into a builder's yard, and I felt totally out of place. I knew where I was, but I was in the wrong place. And I had a great difficulty because I thought I'd got to back out into four lanes of traffic in France. Fantastic. Jan was very sympathetic. The children thought it was hilarious. And my first thought was, how do I get out of this one? I hope I do get out. I really hope so. And we use that word hope, don't we, so often. Do you remember? Do you say hope? Hope it's going to be a nice day. I hope Tottenham win the cup. Gray won't agree with that, but I hope Tottenham win the cup. And we say it liberally, don't we? We say it when we mean things. But what does it mean? And do we have any conviction when we say it? And sometimes as people, or indeed as a church, we feel out of place. We know where we are, but not perhaps how to get where we want to go. And maybe we're feeling confused, insecure, or rejected. But we think things will get better. We hope things will get better. But sometimes we really don't have much hope that they will. And that's what happened to God's people in Psalm 137, when that was written. God's people had been taken hostage, and now they were slaves in a foreign land, the land of Babylon. And Babylon is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Babel, and it means confusion. And Psalm 137, verses 1 to 4 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, there we wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows nearby, we hung up our hearts. Those who had captured us told us to sing. They told us to entertain them. Sing us a song about Zion. How can we sing a song about Zion in a foreign land?" I did try and get the record by the rivers of Babylon. Some of you might remember that. Shows my age, doesn't it? but I couldn't get it. God's people have been used to a good life. They've been living in a promised land, and they were used to singing and rejoicing. They were used to being free and living in God's blessing. And now they were held in bondage, in confusion, and as they thought about how things used to be, they wept. So are we going to be like God's people when things go wrong? Are we going to lie down and weep? Or will we really look forward with hope for better things? Not a hope without belief, but a hope of assurance that God is in control and that He is our hope. We all know that life is full of up and downs, isn't it? Of mountains and valleys. And many people live in a hopeless world where their hope is shattered. We can think of broken homes, of divorce, violence, debt and death. Broken lives of drugs, crime, bereavement and desertion. Broken bodies with sickness, disease and disaster. Broken dreams of ambition, failure, defeat and disappointment. many symptoms of our modern society and affecting the lives of so many people, depriving them of peace, happiness and ultimate hope. The same can happen in church, where we can find ourselves in a Babylon situation, one of confusion without hope. What hope can there possibly be for a better world for our children? Where can we find new hope for the present, let alone the future? Where can we find our friends, family, neighbours and colleagues? Where can they turn for hope? Why do we need this hope? Well, we only need to look around, don't we, on television, in newspapers, and see that earthly riches very often do not bring joy or peace or a future to look forward to. If you look at somebody like Britney Spears, money doesn't seem to bring happiness there, does it? 1 Peter 3 again. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always prepare to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The Bible understands that hope is vital to us all. It has been said that we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. Martin Luther King said, "If you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. You lose that courage to be, that quality that helps you to go on in spite of all. And so today, I still have a dream." In Job 17, Job is in despair and he says, "My days have passed, my plans have failed, my hope is gone." In Proverbs 12, we read, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." So what is this biblical hope? What did Peter mean by using the word hope in his letter? It's not optimism. Of course, optimists, are you an optimist? Jan will tell you I'm a pessimist. I always think it's half empty when she thinks it's half full. I woke up this morning and thought, it's going to rain. But a pessimist can hardly wait for the future so they can look back with regret. Optimists can hardly wait for the future because they know it's going to be better than today. For all their similarities, though, hope and optimism are different. Optimists think they can or others will. Those with hope know that God will. The concise Oxford Dictionary definition of hope is expectation and desire combined, promise, probability. That, however, is not the biblical hope. God's word tells us that hope is a future certainty grounded in present reality. And hope is wishing for what God has already promised us. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that strength is renewed for those who hope in the Lord. This is more than just wishful optimism. And the word in Greek is elpis, and means a favourable and confident expectation. Hope is not wishful thinking or a vague aspiration. It's not wanting things to turn out well whilst remain uncertain that they will. Hope is the absolute certainty we have that God is good and his promises are true. And hope is actually personalised in Jesus himself. He is our hope. Paul writes in Colossians 1 verse 27, "To them God has chosen to make known amongst the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So then, to convince others there is hope in this world, in our own lives, we need ourselves to be convinced. As Christians, we are not expected to live dictated by world circumstances, but by the principles and promises of God's kingdom. We should be the possessors of an undying hope, a favourable and confident expectation that our lives and the future are in the hands of one greater than any of the world's leaders. Other people see only a hopeless end, but as Christians, we should rejoice in an endless hope. So in our lives and in our church, we should show people that the hope of the world is in Jesus and not in the worldly things so many people strive for, money, power, etc. Jesus, however, warns us not to lose the hope we have in him. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now we know that one of the qualities of salt is that it enhances the flavour of food. We're told that too much salt is not good for you, but without it, food would certainly be lacking in flavour. Do you put salt in the potatoes? And we do it to enhance the flavour, don't we? So when things seem to go wrong and life seems to be confused, we mustn't lose our saltiness and be like those in Babylon and lie down and weep. No, we should hold on to that certain hope that God is in control, and that, as Peter said, in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. The Matthew passage, and I know some of the house groups this week have been looking at that, talks about when salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Strange thing to say, but it may be that this refers to the Palestine, that in Palestine the ordinary oven is out of doors and is built of stone on a base of tiles. And in these ovens, to retain the heat, a thick layer of salt is laid under the tiled floor. And in time, this salt perishes. The tiles are taken up, the salt removed, and thrown out onto the road outside. The salt's lost its power to heat, and so it was no good in the oven, so it's just thrown on the road for people to trample on. Jesus goes on in Matthew 5 to say, don't lose that saltiness, because you are the light of the world. What a great compliment he gives us. He wants us to be seen both in church and outside, to have hope in him and give that hope to others. He wants our light to be a guide, like a channel for shipping, where the lights on buoys show a safe passage. We can show others hope in Jesus. And like the amber traffic light, he wants us to warn others not to put our hope in the world and themselves, but to put hope in God's promises. Through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we have the power to give hope to those around us, that they may share in the joy of knowing Jesus. A prayer by St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. And where there is despair, hope. Many churches in this country are joined together to spread the good news of this hope and are taking part in Hope 08. Anybody heard of Hope 08? Yeah? And the plan of Hope 08 depends on individuals, whether acting alone or as part of an organisation, a church, who are excited by the vision and plans for hope and are willing to promote the ideas which will form hope where we live. Details can be found on the website, and it's quite interesting to look at what people say about hope. but we have hope in Jesus. Do you know what the shortest chapter in the Bible is? Well, it's Psalm 117. And do you know what the longest in the Bible is? Psalm 119. Margaret knows her Bible. And which chapter is the centre of the Bible? No? Psalm 118. Psalm 118. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 118, and there are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. And you add these numbers up and you get 1,188. And what's the centre verse of the Bible? Because I knew this off by heart. The answer is Psalm 118, verse 8. 1188. And does this verse say anything significant about God's perfect will for our lives? The next time someone needs hope and says they would like to find God's perfect will for their lives and that they want to be the centre of His will, just send them to the centre of His word. Psalm 118, verse 8 in NIV says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in men." Now you can all have a look at your Bibles and count all the chapters before and all the chapters afterwards, or take my word for it. It is better to take refuge in the Lord, have hope in Him, than to put confidence in man. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5, which Paul read to us. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. For they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Amen.